Two fairly short readings today. First one from Genesis chapter 12 on page 16. The Lord said to Abram, "Leave your native land, your relatives, and your father's home, and go to a country that I'm going to show you. I will give you many descendants, and they will become a great nation. It will bless you and make your name famous, so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, but I will curse those who curse you, and through you I will bless all the nations." When Abraham was 75 years old, he started out from Hebron, as the Lord had told him to, and Lot went with him. And the second reading is from John, sorry, page 121. And from verse, you can't read it. "For God loved the world so much that he gave his only Son, so that whoever believes in him may not die, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to be its judge, but to be its Saviour."
Test 1, 2. Oh, good, it's working. Good morning, everyone. Great to see you. So good together to worship together and to have some amazing music. I come from a church that's in central Wellington, and we have amazing music, but we often have organ music. So it's lovely to have a band play some and some new music for me as well. I had a lovely day and a bit with the leaders, and that was wonderful. And what I found was really exciting is when we all gathered together, you don't necessarily know where the conversation's going. And there's a whole lot of different conversations, different ideas, and yet the Holy Spirit really moved in a way that I think brought things into clarity. So that's wonderful to know that we are being guided by the Holy Spirit. I'm really encouraged for what God is doing with you and will continue to do with you as God's people here. Richard, we didn't talk about how long I can preach for. Someone said to me yesterday about an hour and 20 minutes. Is that okay?
Without the hour.
Without the hour, okay. So, Dana, I'm going to have to throw some of these out. I want us to reflect this morning, and it's going to be on the Genesis reading. But there may be questions that come up. What I really want to encourage, and it's something that I do in a lot of churches that I go and visit, is that when you meet over morning tea, it's great to catch up. It's great to talk about, you know, the sun is shining, which is wonderful. But take the opportunity to talk a bit about your faith, about what God may have spoken to you as you've heard his word. And that's what as we do that, we actually build up in our own faith. So I encourage you to think about that over tea and coffee. So reflecting on the Genesis reading, Abram was living a pretty comfortable life with his family in Haran. Do you know that he was getting ready for retirement? Seeing that he was 75 and was starting to feel his age, especially early in the morning. Early in the morning, his legs creaked, his joints squeaked, and unfortunately, his bladder leaked. He was ready to slow down and allow his hard work to be carried out by younger members of his extended family. It was as soon as he made ready his plans that God spoke and called him to leave everything that he had accomplished, everything that he knew, everything that he had planned, And by simply trusting the words of this divine being, this divine speaker, go on a completely unknown journey to a completely unknown place in the land of Canaan to do a completely unknown thing. The only thing that Abram knew was that in his going, he would be blessed and he would be a blessing to others. That's all he knew. In other words, if Abram took the risk to do what God was calling him to do, he and others would be blessed. That's it. That's the story. There seems to be no real plan. Sure, maybe there was a map of the general area, or some local people could tell him about what the space was like, what the area was like. Sure, some people could give him some advice. But for the most part, Abram, if he was to go, had to rely on the one who called him to go. As I was reflecting on this reading, that reminded me of my own journey. So I came here as the mission catalyst. And the mission catalyst is pretty much, it's a new role in presbytery. It's a role where I get the privilege of going and visiting all of the churches in the Lower North Island. So we have about 78 churches. And my role is to go into congregations and to just encourage them to think about where God might be leading them in mission. Before going into this role, so I've been in this role for 2 years, 2 years this month, I was one of the ministers at St. John's in the city in Wellington. And I'd been there for 10.5 years. It was slightly risky to go from being a minister, which I love. There was no reason why I stopped being a minister. It wasn't as though I was unhappy. It wasn't as though things were becoming too challenging. But I felt that God was saying something in my life. Now, I don't want to give you the impression that in talking about Abram, I'm equating the entire story of Abram to mine. However, as I did finish up at St. John's, and prepared to start my new role, I certainly resonate with parts of the story that have to do with God's call and this idea of taking risk. Because for me, I loved being one of the ministers at St. John's. The congregation had become part of my extended family, and although I had the privilege to minister to them, they also ministered to me. Over the 10.5 years, I had dreamed dreams and discerned with them what God had and was calling them to do and to be as the body of Christ. And I became comfortable in my robes. And now I know not many ministers now are wearing robes. But if you ever come to St. John's, you will see a minister wearing robes. I haven't worn them since. I've got a suitcase full of robes. But they're very comfortable. My family had settled in Wellington, and we still call Wellington home. My wife, Lala, or her full name, Haralalaura Suavalun, who is from Madagascar, is very musical, and she got involved in more and more choirs and has become the Wellington Community Choir Director and is involved in many, many music ventures. And our children have, because we've been in that place for so long, have built some long-lasting friendships that are deep and meaningful. And although I don't yet have creaky legs or squeaky knees and a leaky bladder, I had come to a place of contentment. I really had become settled in that space. Not in the sense of nothing to do, but rather a sense that I knew what I was doing. I had built a relationship with these people, and they had come to trust me, and I had come to profoundly love them. I knew what I was doing. I had plans in place. I knew the people I worked with and had security in where I worked and lived. Now, none of this is wrong, by the way. And yet as I breathed this sigh of relief, I heard God's call. And it wasn't a trumpet. It wasn't writing on the wall. It was a small sentence said to me. And this sentence became an idea which moved into a dream, which moved from here to here and created an excitement that I could not get rid of and has now become a reality. And yet, if I am honest, although I do have a job description, I still don't know exactly how the role is going to play out. I did not know how God was going to lead yesterday. I can come with all the plans in place, but I don't know how God is going to often lead a congregation. It's risky because I don't know what type of conversations I'm going to go and visit and the conversations that I'm going to have when we start talking about mission. I don't know which churches will be receptive to what I have to share, and I don't know what churches might hear when they listen to God. So in some ways, as much as the church is on this adventure, I too am on this adventure. I can only trust that as I take the risk to go, God goes with me, and as I go, I pray that some people may be blessed. So maybe you resonate. Maybe you as individuals, or maybe you as this body of Christ, this church in this place, you resonate with some of what I've shared or with some of Abram's experience. Maybe you sense that God is calling you as God's people here in New Plymouth to try something new, to go to new places, to take that step of faith into the unknown. Or maybe God is calling you to consider anew what it means to be followers of Christ in a world of increasing costs, in a world of transforming viruses, in a world where people are struggling with all sorts of illnesses, where people are either about to lose their jobs or already have lost their jobs, where people are struggling to make ends meet, to find themselves without a home. And in the midst of this struggle and strife, they are longing to find a community that will accept them in their struggle, to love them, to support them, to proclaim justice for them, to show mercy to them, and to lay down one's life for them. To love as God loves. Do you hear God's call? And if you do, are you willing to take the risk to go to places that you've never been before? And as you do that, know that you are not alone. That God goes with you and God goes ahead of you. And sure, you could continue to do what you have done, which I'm sure has been faithful. And more often than not, grounded in Christ. I mean, if Abram had stayed, I'm sure he would have had a comfortable life. His family probably would have flourished, and God still would have blessed him in particular ways. But like Abram, if we respond by taking some steps into the unknown, knowing that God is with us, God will bless the church and others in even greater ways. One of the issues that I'm really aware of, and maybe you are as well, but for me, it's partly because of my own story and that of my family's around mental illness. My father had clinical depression when he was a minister in Christchurch. I too have had depression when I was in ministry in Wellington. More and more people are struggling with mental illness, which I believe has got worse because of COVID, because of the lockdown and isolation, but also because of the housing crisis, the increased costs of living. How do I provide for my family? depression certainly is on the rise in all facets of New Zealand society, and maybe some of you have been struggling with this yourself, or you have family members who are. Maybe you've become overwhelmed with anxiety or know people who you are associated with, family members who are often weighed down with anxiety. There's a recent study that says that teenage depression rates have more than doubled in 4 decades. So I have 3 children, 21-year-old, a 19-year-old and a 17-year-old, and all of them have struggled in one way or another with anxiety. If this is the case, then what might God be calling us to do or be in light of this reality? Often we go, Lord, we don't know where you're calling us. I think it's pretty clear. At the beginning of 2020, I took some study leave before I took on this new role, where I reflected on the theology of mental health. And I just want to share some of the thoughts that came out of that study, that reading. God's mission is redemptive in nature. God's mission, God's desire is to redeem all people, to redeem all of creation, to bring everything that God has made into right relationship with him. If it is it is grounded in the overflowing love of the triune God. So here, the God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, who are in perfect community, that they have so much love that it overflows into the world. The responsibility of the church, if it is obedient to Christ's call, is to first listen and discern what is the redemptive activity that God is doing in our local context. Where are there signs of hope and of love and of forgiveness? Then how are we called to participate in those places of love? Where are there places of despair and loneliness, of depression, where people need to hear the good news of Jesus? In the case of New Zealand, the church doesn't, I believe anyway, doesn't need to listen too hard or discern too long to notice God's activity with those suffering from mental illness. In response to mental health, God has guided the New Zealand government, whether they know it or not, to respond to the mental health crisis highlighted in the Mental Health and Addiction Inquiry. There's been a whole lot of new resources that have been made, and on the many websites you can find resources that are helpful for families and for communities. There's a website called depression.org.nz, which has amazing resources. The Mental Health Foundation has provided a whole lot of publications and reports and research that helps people understand what is going on and provides training as well. You also have a website which I think is one of the best that I've come across. It's called The Lowdown, and it often uses sports people who have gone through mental illness to talk about their own story. God is clearly active in addressing some of these issues, and the church is continually invited to participate. So you may ask, how? How can we participate in this? Well, the government inquiry noted that the system that they have put in place was not set up well to respond to those who are not at the extremes of need. So the systems that the government have put into place deal with those who are at the extremes, but it does not deal with the majority of people who are simply struggling in life. In response, the church could acknowledge the care provided by the medical world, but at the same time, humbly and wisely offer a larger picture to what it means to be human and to have health. This offering could be provided through and by a communion of people, us, who love and accept because of Christ those who are depressed, those who are anxious, those who are worried. Furthermore, because depression can cause isolation, which increases one's sense of worthlessness, I truly believe the church has a crucial role to play. In a culture that is increasingly disconnected and unsupportive, church is often a depressed person's last real hope of finding a community of truth and grace to walk with them through the cavernous valleys, oppressive shadows, and turbulent storms of life. Unfortunately, the church often fails to be this type of community and instead insists its members need to be perfect. Rather than being a community held together by God's grace, shown in and through Christ by the power of the Holy Spirit, rather than a community that acknowledges createdness, we are not the creator. We are not God. We are created beings, existing as human beings, fallible, vulnerable, and in need of help. The church often acts as though it is fully healthy. If the church believes this, it will always struggle to welcome unhealthy people. If the church is truly the body of Christ, and we heard a reading earlier this morning, we are the body of Christ, then it exists in obedience to Christ for the poor, for the vulnerable, and for the imperfect. Although the head of the church is the resurrected Christ, it, like Christ, still holds the scars of the crucifixion. And therefore, the body of Christ must be a people who, with their scars and with their pain and with their depression, live in the risen Christ together. This living in the risen Christ means that no matter how weak or how strong the body is, or how fearless or vulnerable it is, however joyful or depressed it is, Christ is Lord and is real and is present. In Christ, the church will be transformed, will be made perfect, which is measured and achieved by Jesus, who revealed God's perfection on the cross. Isn't it strange that perfection is revealed on the cross, which is so countercultural to the way that the rest of the world sees perfection? And this perfection that is talked about in Scripture is not an ethical perfection or moral perfection. What the word really means is that we are made whole. It means wholeness. This perfection means wholeness, not the ability to do everything perfectly. So if the church lived this way, it would be a community that embraces vulnerability, so that those who are depressed can openly share their pain without judgment. And this would also be beneficial for the wider community, which, if any of you have heard of Dietrich Bonhoeffer, the theologian and martyr, German martyr, says this in an article called Life Together. He says this: every Christian community must know that not only do the weak need the strong, not only do the weak need the strong, but also that the strong cannot exist without the weak. The elimination of the weak, the vulnerable, the poor, the depressed, is the death of community. So then, how might God be calling you here, this community of faith, this body of Christ, to participate in God's mission? How is God leading you to take these steps of faith? And they don't have to be big, giant steps of faith, small steps. What risks is God calling you to take, and are you willing to take them and be a blessing to the world? I believe that when you take those steps of faith, it is that first step that God equips us. Often we go, Lord, we're waiting for you to move with us. We're waiting for you to empower us. We're waiting for you to give us what we need to do what you want us to do. But it is in the going, the first step, that God provides all those. It's not in the waiting. It is in the going. So what are the risks that God is leading you to take, remembering that God is with you? I want to pray for you now. So let's pray. Loving and holy God, thank you that you call us your people. Thank you for this church, this light on the hill, this people of salt and light, who long to follow you. And Lord, how wonderful it was to worship, to sing songs of praise, remembering that we need you, that we are your people, and that you are our God. We thank you for your word. We thank you for scripture that reminds us of the story of Abram, and that he was willing, simply by your word, to take those steps of faith, to take that risk, and the world has changed. We thank you, Lord, for the reminder of your great love in the Gospel of John. Love so profound that you sent your only Son. And as you sent your only Son, and as the Holy Spirit sent the early disciples, the Holy Spirit also sends us into the world. We ask that you open the hearts and the eyes of this people to know where you are calling them into your mission. We pray this, Lord, and we give you thanks for your amazing love. In Jesus' name, amen. So I'm going to invite you now. I think we've got a song that we're going to sing, and then I'm going to say the blessing after the song. Quiz. What was some of the key themes that you heard? This will test, see if you were listening. What were the key themes that you heard in the reflection? Stepping out beyond your comfort. Yep. Hope. Yep. I didn't even choose it, isn't it? You know how God moves, eh? So hope, stepping out from our comfort. Taking the first step, yep. What's that? And for all people. I just want to remind you that you are the church, and that God is with you. You know, we believe that the Holy Spirit is within us, not only as individuals, but as the body of Christ. So wherever you go, remember that God goes with you and goes ahead of you and will empower you. But also, I think that God is calling us to take those new steps into a place of the unknown. And wherever we go, God will bless that. So remember that. And may the blessing of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with you all now and forevermore. Amen. And in some churches, we'd do the threefold amen. But we're not going to do that. Amen.